love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
So he was a war hero. He was the 41st president of the United States. And now he can add this to his resume. He is a rear patter. George H.W. Bush is now under attack for patting a woman's behind in 2014. Now, I, for one, can't believe I just said that sentence, but I did. Welcome to America, 2017. Yesterday, the actress Heather Lind accused H.W. Bush of patting her on the rear and making a joke. Quote, I got the chance to meet George H.W. Bush 4 years ago to promote a historic television show I was working on. He sexually assaulted me. He sexually assaulted me while I was posing for a similar photo. He didn't shake my hand. He touched me from behind from his wheelchair with his wife Barbara Bush right by his side. He then told me a dirty joke. And then, all the while being photographed, he touched me again. Barbara rolled her eyes as if to say, not again. Now, lock the kids up. I know we're talking about sexual assault here, but here's the dirty joke. Do you know who my favorite magician is? David Copperfield. Wow. Terrible joke. For many reasons, one of which David Copperfield is not even relevant anymore. It shows you how old he is. Bush was forced to issue a statement from his office on the matter that reads, at the age of 93, President Bush has been confined to a wheelchair for 5 years. His arms fall on the lower waist of people with whom he takes pictures. To try to put people at ease, he routinely tells the same joke, and on occasion, he has patted women's rear ends in what he intended to be a good-natured manner. Some have seen this as innocent. Others clearly view this as inappropriate. To anyone he has offended, President Bush apologizes sincerely. Okay. The guy's 93. Have you seen him lately? It's not like he's out at night working the clubs. Even if he was interested in sex, it ain't happening, baby. Bush is not a sexual predator. That was not a sexual assault. You cannot put George H.W. Bush, 41, with the likes of Harvey Weinstein. It's like apples, comparing them to bananas. Where have we heard that? I'm sure no one would do that. They would never call a banana an apple, would they? Of course not, because they're clearly not the same.
Thursday, October 26th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't think I can take it anymore. I really don't. I don't think I can take it anymore. He's 93 years old. Do you think that, I mean, he's reaching up from his wheelchair. That's where his arms are going to rest, at a woman's hips. So, okay, so maybe he shouldn't put his arm around you and your hip and pat you? I mean, are you really that? Is that really what you think? You walked out of there going, he was copping a feel. He's 93.
Well, he was only 90 at the time. So, he was spry.
I mean, you have to have some common sense and some common decency. The guy is, to think he is a sexual, what was he using his power? He was using his power over you, really? You were afraid you were going to be trapped? His wife is there. I know Barbara Bush. She would knock him in the head if he did anything inappropriate. He says the same joke to make everybody feel comfortable, and you laugh at this stupid joke, and you're like, that's a really bad joke. I mean, I'm a hugger. I hug everybody that comes into my office, and sometimes people leave, and usually guys, and they're like, okay, I can't believe I just hugged him. I'm not a hugger. I'm a hugger.
You rethinking that, honestly?
Nope. Nope. Nope.
You're not.
Nope.
Would
nope,
you?
Nope. Nope. Nope.
Oh, okay.
Would I what?
Would you reconsider?
No, I would
okay.
not. No, I would not. Nope.
No. Because, I mean, it's that world right now. No?
I don't care.
I mean, we have... We talked yesterday about another director who's, you know, being
here's
hundreds
a difference.
Of people now.
Here's the difference.
Mark Halperin today.
Okay, all right. Here's the difference. Do you know what happened with Mark Halperin? Have you read the accounts?
I did, although he denies them. We should point that out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and he's already been fired.
Yep.
He's already been fired. He's out. Now, if he did these things, he should be out. But did he do these things? Witch hunt. We should get the Crucible out. We should start reading the Crucible. Will they allow your kids to read the Crucible in school anymore? Because I know we used to have to. We used to have to read the Crucible. Every single year we read the stupid Crucible. Why? Because it was to show us. You don't go after communists, I'll tell you that right now. That's what that whole thing was about. It was about the witch hunt in Salem, but it was written as a warning to society during the communist trials of the 1950s. And man, we had to learn that in school. At the height of the Cold War, we had to learn, don't just go on accusations. Don't you dare do that. It'll be like the Salem witch trials. What the hell are we doing?
And again, that's not to say that any of these specific accusations are part of a witch hunt by any means. We don't know. Right?
I don't know. I don't know Mark Halperin at all.
No, he's been on the show a couple times, right?
I don't know.
I think he has been. But again, it's just that is it doesn't matter. Like these claims could be very well true.
But it's just like.
We assume they're true just by the accusations being leveled, and that is not a healthy place for society to be.
Hey, let me just say this. In case you don't know what Halperin is accused of, two women, and they have some credibility, I guess, because they also have witnesses from the time that say, I remember she came out of his office and she told me and she was very upset about it. And it's consistent with what she told me at the time. Now, that could mean there's, you know, four people in collusion. I don't know. But what Halperin was accused of was a woman walking in to his office. He grabbed her breasts. He forcefully kissed her. Without an invitation and without consent, and then kicked her out of the office. Another time, he walked up to a woman and pressed his,
the technical term junk. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes, and it was in full standing and pressed his junk against her. On her shoulder because she was sitting down, and I don't even know how mount the chair, and she felt very uncomfortable, and I guess he groped her and then she left. Okay, that's not the same. That's not the same as what happened with George H.W. Bush. And women, if you're going to start to say that that is sexual assault, you are going to destroy any credibility anyone has on actual sexual assault. Words mean nothing anymore. Rapist. Racist. It doesn't mean anything anymore. Nobody believes any kind of you're a racist. We have actual Nazis in the streets. And people compare other people to Nazis all the time. I have done it myself. It is a mistake. It's a mistake. If you don't stop just using these terms for everything. Nothing will have any meaning whatsoever.
And look, you know, a lot of this has to do with the surrounding circumstances. It would not be appropriate for a 35-year-old guy to start grabbing somebody's butt or patting a butt. It's not it's probably not appropriate for Bush to be doing it either, obviously. But I mean, sexual assault is something
else.
Can
I tell you something? If I am in a wheelchair,
he apologized for it, right?
I know, but I know that because he's a decent guy. George H.W. Bush is a decent man.
Yeah.
If I'm in a wheelchair and I'm Glenn Beck and I'm a hugger and I'm a guy who I hug you and I'm not a serial groper or anything.
Right.
So if I'm in a wheelchair and I'm going to take a picture, it is normal to put your arms around people. So have you seen a picture of him? He looks so uncomfortable and so awkward in that wheelchair. He's trying to appear normal. And so he puts his arms around people's hips.
Yeah, and this is, you're right, it's a joke to
make them feel comfortable.
Right, exactly. And look, again though, if you put that in another person, it may be unacceptable, right? But again, it all is about these circumstances. There's a picture that Ellen DeGeneres posted.
Oh my gosh.
Of her with Katy Perry. It was Katy Perry's birthday. And the picture is Ellen DeGeneres standing next to Katy Perry, who, as is normal practice, wearing almost nothing from her belly button to her head, but is a very low cut dress, and she has she's ample.
You can see everything but the nipple,
pretty much.
Yes.
And Ellen is leaning over with her face approximately 4 inches from her boobs. And says, "Hey, happy birthday, Katy! Time to bring out the big balloons." Now, Ellen is a woman who is attracted to other women too. To add to this, so it's not just. And is that
sexual
wrong?
Assault
in the era of sexual assault in Hollywood? Is that what that is? Obviously not.
Okay, but why?
Exactly.
If that was a man doing that, it would be horrible.
Yep.
Okay, so it's another woman, but she is attracted to other women.
Right.
So what is the difference? What is the difference?
And that is, I think, where you have where the witch hunt comes in.
Yes.
If people are actually sexually assaulting people, and we've said many times.
We want it to stop.
We want it to stop, but we want them to go to prison. We want them to pay huge penalties for that.
Yes.
Above and beyond that, however, there has to be a standard above a few people say it in an article. You can't just have random people saying that, making claims with no evidence and act as if that should make a person lose their job or go away forever. Yes, if they did it, we want that to happen. But there has to be due process. It can't just be we have a few people saying something happened to me multiple years ago, and we all just jump on the bandwagon and say that person's a dirtbag. They may be a dirtbag, but there has to be due process to get to that point. And right now, we are the witch hunt part of this. Some of them may have been witches. Like, I don't know.
None of them were witches.
The point is, you got to do more than seeing if they float.
It's a really good point, Stu. We start throwing people who have been accused of being a sexual predator. We throw George Bush, strap him to his wheelchair, and throw him into a lake. If he floats, we know he's a sexual predator. If he doesn't float, he's innocent.
It's not a good way to operate a legal system.
You don't think?
No.
Glenn Beck.
We have so many things to do. I don't know if you saw the TV show last night, but we did something on Fusion GPS that if you don't know what's really happening on this, boy, we broke it down in like 10 minutes on the chalkboard. It was really funny and really good way for you to understand it. Showed you all the connections, showed you how crazy this thing is, and you will understand it in the end. You can find it at theblaze.com or glennbeck.com. If you're a subscriber, make sure you're watching the 5 o'clock show. We're breaking down the two biggest stories of the day in a way that you can understand them and they make sense. And next week we begin with a series of chalkboards, and next week's series is What is Socialism? And we're going to teach this in bite-sized pieces over 4 days. So you and your kids can watch it, and every night you can walk away and have a conversation on, okay, so what does that mean? What is socialism? And I urge you, do your own homework. After the show, get your kids and get online. Check that out. Show them how to look for truth.
There's a lot in there, too, that how many times have we talked about socialism on the show? 50,000? I mean,
yeah.
But there was a lot in there that I had never heard before. Really interesting, like parts of this, that whole story that go even before Marx, some of it.
Oh, yeah.
And
socialism is in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's just not called it, but it's in the Bible.
Well,
I mean,
sort of.
In a bad way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing.
But if you go to, you look at this, and there's a whole week of this stuff, and it really explains it well. It's an entertaining presentation of it, so it's not like boring you, because I think there's a chance with something like socialism that you're just gonna fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many really vivid examples of it being tried. There's no vivid examples of it succeeding, obviously, but there are a lot of examples of the way it was tried, and sometimes tried. We always think of Stalin and things like this, these really bad people who were involved in that, Lenin and Hitler and all of these people.
We show you really good examples of good people.
Of good people actually trying it.
It's like the pizza parlor in Boston.
Yeah.
They just did some socialist pizza experiment, and they wanted to have a socialist utopia. It's a pizza parlor. They got $100,000 grant to open this up and pay everybody above minimum wage and do all the nice social justice things. They just closed down. It doesn't work. It is a flawed economic system. Now, it might make you feel good, but it's so much better to make money and then give it away. Use the capitalist system to change people's lives in a good way. Come up with something, and they did. Pizza. By all accounts, it was really good pizza. Good. So make it the capitalistic way, and then take your profits and invest it in something that you want to invest in, like the children and, kids without faces and, worms without ears, whatever your cause is.
I am a huge supporter of worms without ears, actually.
Right?
I'm a platinum board member.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Well, it's important to me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of asterisks around this claim, but Elon Musk is a good example of this.
Yes.
Elon Musk made a lot of money in the capitalist system, and he decided one of the things he wanted to do was do all this green stuff. So he built Tesla. He's built all these other, solar companies. He's working on the Hyperloop, all these things that he thinks are going to be very helpful to humanity. And I may or may not agree with many of them. A lot of them I don't care about his claims when it comes to the environment, but he makes a really good car. Now, there are a lot of asterisks around that with government funding that I don't agree with, and as you probably know, I will tell you,
if he didn't have the government funding, he just would have found a way to make the car cheaper.
I think he still would have done it.
Yeah, he would.
Because
he's got billions
of dollars that he made in the capitalist system, and now he's applying them to what he wants to support.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'd love to have, I've never used this word before in a positive. I'd really like to have like a symposium sometime next year with some of the best minds in the country. Not only the conservative minds, but also the futurist minds on how do you get a message out? I think the days of people like me are numbered. I worry, and it has changed in the last 6 months, and things are becoming more and more clear on the railroad lines that have been laid by companies like Google, YouTube, Facebook, and even Apple is poised to get into it. How do we pay for news? How do we do news? How do we deliver news when these companies can just wash you out? People are not talking about the fact that Google has hired its first 1,000 journalists, end quote. They are going to provide news, and it's going to come all through them. And if they don't like you, you're not going to see it. It won't be, I mean, it'll be on some .com, but how do you find it? It's already beginning. You know, we are going to be doing a special next, probably after the first of the year, about Media Matters. And I want to show you how Media Matters is operating and how they are already at places like Google and YouTube. This, in their own words, they're already there telling them who should be dropped and who has an opinion that is important and who has an opinion that isn't important, which is offensive, what isn't. You want Media Matters deciding that? Because that's who Google and YouTube are now listening to. Which brings me to a story yesterday that we talked about. And if you have any money and you are looking to help somebody learn and gain some knowledge in a very effective way, I want you to make a donation to Prager University. Prager University is Dennis Prager. What he has done and his team is unbelievable. And what they have done is truly remarkable. And they make these 5-minute educational videos that, look, if you have a different opinion, you may not like it because they're very effective. But you can't tell me that they are inaccurate. They are done by some of the greatest minds alive today. And they are now being censored on YouTube and being demonetized, which means you can't. They can't make money on them. Now, here's the thing. They operate on donations because I don't know how many thousands of dollars each of these videos cost, but they're not cheap to make. And so they have been making them on donations because they can't rack up the views like the Young Turks did, who are complete conspiracy theory guys, completely discredited, and yet they'll sell for $1 billion. PragerU is never going to be able to cash out at $1 billion. No company is ever going to buy PragerU. They're just not. We can't eat our own, and we must support our own. And Prager University, I can't recommend highly enough that you support them in every way possible, even if it is just spreading their video. So they have now... they have now filed a lawsuit on Monday against YouTube. And who do we have on, Stu? Marissa Street. Yeah. She's the CEO. I love this woman. So smart. From PragerU. Hi, Marissa. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. It's so... thank you for this amazing introduction. I can't tell you how encouraging it is to have good people like you on our side.
Well,
wow, thank you.
I have been watching you and cheering you from the sidelines for a long time, and I want to do everything I can, and I've already pledged to you that Mercury One is going to give you a percentage of everything that we raise for education, because I think you guys do unbelievable work. Marissa... tell me what is happening at YouTube.
So I'll tell you something really interesting, how we heard about this to begin with. About a year and a half ago, we got some emails from students. You know, we have this student group called PragerForce. They're essentially our ambassadors on campuses across the United States. And they started emailing in saying, hey, what's going on? We've been watching your videos. We use them on campus, but for some reason we can't watch them when we get to the library. We've been wanting to share them with some other students, and we couldn't figure out what was the issue. Why aren't they able to see these videos? So as we looked into it, we figured out that our videos are being restricted, and they're being restricted from the exact audience that needs these videos more than ever. So the students were the ones who told us, you know, we can't reach the videos. So we started looking into it, and we sent a few emails to Google and say this must, we said this must be a mistake. Why would our videos be censored? We read through the guidelines. The guidelines said that videos that are censored are usually pornographic and graphic and hate speech and violent. Obviously, anybody in their right mind would watch our videos and agree with us that these videos are none of the above. So we started looking into it further. We heard crickets from YouTube for almost a year until we launched a petition this past summer and got close to 300,000 signatures. At that point, YouTube finally responded to us and said that they're reviewing our videos, and we have this in writing, by the way. They review our videos, and they deem them inappropriate and only appropriate for mature audience. So the very audience that we're trying to reach is essentially blocked from reaching our videos.
So the audience can get a handle on this. This is the, you know, these are the same kind of people that say that we have to teach about transgenderism to our kindergarten classes. Yet students in college cannot handle why isn't communism hated hated as Nazism or the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. You can't handle that. But a kindergartner can handle transgenderism. I don't understand it.
Exactly. I mean, that is our exact point. And that's the point that our students and our viewership was making. So, you know, we can't allow the left to take over the university, to take over the internet as they have done with the university. If we lose the internet, which is obviously the way people get information these days, then what's left?
Yeah, this is the new Hollywood. And I mean, I think, for instance, Facebook, I think, is a replacement for the telephone, the television, the newsroom, talk radio. It's all forms of communication that we have had. And if you lose in Facebook and you lose with YouTube and Google, you're never going to be found. You're never going to be found. Do you know that, Marissa, we have a internal a bunch of internal documents from Media Matters where they say they are already in-house at YouTube and Google advising them on what should be cut and what should remain. Were you aware of that?
I'm certainly not surprised. I mean, from the way that they've been dealing with us, it's not a surprise to me that they have it's, and by the way, it's complete hubris as well. They believe that they can get away with it. They believe that people on our side won't fight.
So, Marissa, what should people do? I know you filed a lawsuit, but what should people do?
So, first of all, we are fighting Goliath, and we know it. Suing Google/YouTube weighed very heavily on us. Obviously, it was a very big decision, but we decided that we have to do it, and we'll take any help we can get. So we have a petition, which obviously brought some awareness to YouTube and a willingness to at least communicate with us. If you can sign the petition on our website at PragerU.com, that would be immensely helpful, and share it with other people. This specific case is going to be tried in the court of public opinion as well as in the court of law, and we need you to help us win the public opinion and bring awareness. If you think about the word Google, people think that they use it as a verb, right? You can Google anything and find anything, but that is not the case. So the public should be aware of that. So we want everybody talking about it. And of course, financially, this is not going to be inexpensive. So anybody who can help us in any way, and by the way, even $5 shows me and my team that we're not in this alone. So anybody who can give anything at any level is hugely encouraging, and we need anything we can get.
Marissa, I thank you so much, and your team is truly remarkable, and I would go to work for you any day of the week. I think you guys are remarkable, and I'd be proud to be an intern there with the people that you have assembled. I'm sincere. I think you've created something really truly remarkable, and you're making a difference, and I thank you for that. Thanks,
well,
Marissa.
God bless you. Thank you.
You bet. PragerU.com. Now, if you're a student, you cannot Google this. If you're at a university, you can't Google this and find it. This is the problem. If you are not a student, I want you just to, I want you to Google a couple of things. I want you to Google, why did America fight the Korean War? PragerU. And watch that. I want you to, I want you to Google, what's the other one? Why isn't communism as hated as Nazism? Google, the world's most persecuted minority, Christians. You watch those three things. Those have all been banned now by Google, by YouTube, and you can find them unless you have settings on your computer that you have set them so your kids can't watch them. They'll never pop up for you. If you're at a university or if you're at a government institution, you will never be able to find them. But if you don't have any filters, you're going to be able to find it. And I want you to watch those and ask yourself, why? Why would those be deleted? Why are those, with everything you can get on YouTube, how many times have you walked in and you've caught your kids online and you're like, what the hell are you even watching? How many times have you walked in on the Disney Channel? I want you to watch those and tell me what you would say if you walked in and your kids were watching those videos. I'd hug my kids. Google them and then do everything you can to support PragerU. PragerU.com. Next hour, I'm going to get into how the media is changing and going to change, but how everything is changing. We're going to talk a little bit about Bitcoin, and some people think that it is the biggest hoax on the planet. Other people think it is the future. I will tell you that I do invest some money, only money that was like play money. It was like, I can handle losing that. You know, don't put more, if you're somebody and you've got like $200 and you're like, we could go out for a weekend and spend that, or, you know, I could put it in Bitcoin. Don't do it for the weekend. Don't, you know, save up for a month if you have to, whatever. It's worth doing that, but never anything more than that. Because you just don't know. But the world is changing. We are here. And by 2029, it's the Industrial Revolution. These are the next 10 years. This is it.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Let me quickly go to Andrew in West Virginia. Hello, Andrew. Got about a minute. Go ahead.
Hey, I completely agree with the issue that you don't want Google and YouTube doing what they're doing. My concern is it sounds almost like using the government to try to push almost a regulatory response on them to say this is how you're going to operate when you're a private sector business. I just think that maybe it should be looked at from the perspective of encouraging other private sector businesses to compete with YouTube and Google try to do the same thing and not have them be in blocking people.
Okay, so I agree with you, Andrew. In theory, I agree with you. The lawsuit makes a rather important and nuanced case that is worth hearing or reading, and you can see it up at PragerU.com, and you should read it. The idea is that they claim to stand for open dialogue, and they're not, and that puts them legally in a different place.
Glenn Beck.